Hello and welcome to the Healthy Hustlers podcast, a series of healthy conversations with inspiring hustlers. I'm your happy host, Madeline Carafa, self-proclaimed health enthusiast and full-time hustler. Through storytelling, I combined health, well-being and business with a fresh perspective to share the stories of some of the most influential and inspiring hustlers. Whether you're looking for an engaging and easy-to-digest pep talk or a boost of healthy enthusiasm to fuel your health and wellness goals, the Healthy Hustlers podcast is your go-to for kicking butt in work and play. Welcome back to the Healthy Hustlers. Today, I am once again thrilled to be joined by my good friend, model and presenter Tegan Martin as my co-host, as we chat to one of my favorite plant-based mamas. Tegan provides some incredible insights in this interview, so I was super excited to have her by my side. Now, let's get into today's amazing guest. Today's guest is one of Instagram's favorite plant-based mamas. From constant health issues, lack of energy, and terrible diet to plant-fueled supermum, Lonnie Jane is inspiring hundreds of thousands of people to live healthy lives through her online community. One of the most knowledgeable and insightful people I am yet to meet, Lonnie openly shared her wealth of knowledge and years of research with us, inspiring me to continue to be conscious of what I fuel my mind, body, and soul with. And I know she's going to do exactly the same for you. One of the longest interviews I'm yet to record, Lonnie shares why health is her highest value, what a plant-based lifestyle has done for her and her family, and how she has courageously built a booming online community through being real, raw, and relatable. Introducing Australia's newest feel-good place for all things health, beauty, and wellness. Beautifullyhealthy.com.au is here, your new must-go-to shop for all your health, beauty, and wellness needs. Good morning, Lonnie, and welcome to the Healthy Hustlers podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. Super duper excited to have you, and welcome to Melbourne.
Thank you. It's good to be back in my hometown.
Oh, it's nice to have you back. So I really like starting these conversations by finding out something about people that everyone, I guess, on social media or the wide world who think they know you don't necessarily know. So is there something fun or unique or a little bit different about you that people might not necessarily know?
I got a twin brother that used to play football for Collingwood, AFL team. We look nothing alike. He's like super, super tall, really, really dark skin, dark brown hair. We're like complete opposite. He definitely got all the athletic type of genes than I did.
No, I like that. I think that was starting very strong, something fun. Yeah. Now that everyone knows you have a twin brother, there you go. Yeah. You'll probably get heaps of messages about it on Instagram being like, oh, my goodness. Like, yeah.
How tall is he?
Oh, that's so funny. So another thing I love to get to know is that, obviously fitting with the theme of the Healthy Hustlers, is there a little healthy habit or something that you've been doing lately that has really helped keep your hustle healthy?
There has. I do, obviously, my saunas. Like, I jump in the sauna. I've got a sauna at home. So I heat it up and then I just jump in there when it's really hot. So I only have to be in there for about 15, 20 minutes. I get a sweat on within 5 minutes, like a full river sweat. So it feels like I've done full cardio lift workout for an hour, you know, 45 minutes to an hour, but I've only been in there 15 minutes. And I just sort of do that on like a little lunch break. And I'll just sort of do a bit of like a meditation and just like regroup my mind and then like get back into work and get back into the flow. Eating wise, the last couple of days I've been doing like a watermelon cleanse, but it's my own type of watermelon cleanse. It's like a base of watermelon. And then like I'll get a huge watermelon, then I'll cut it up into three, like a big long one. And then I'll cut it up into three and I'll juice one of them, I'll cut up the other one into cubes, and then like I'll just use the other one as a bowl, like, you know, and just do it all in different ways. And then like across the 2 days, I've just like eaten the entire watermelon, but then I'll still have like, you know, like a miso soup or something to still support that. So it's like I'm detoxing, I'm cleansing, I'm hydrating, I'm giving my body a little bit of a break from like digesting heaps of food, like especially if I'm having like late nights, that I just need that extra support. So it's been amazing, especially if you pair it with like, you know, your beetroot as well, like, because that really helps like oxygenate the blood. It just like sets me on fire for like writing and getting in the zone.
Amazing. I have to ask you if you're on the celery juice bandwagon as well.
Oh, mate, I've been on the celery juice since it was a thing.
Like, I know, so have I. Yeah. I'm like, damn, all you people making celery so expensive.
Yeah, no, I love it though. I love that it's a thing. I'm medical medium Anthony Williams just done such a good job at like globalizing so
simple
and
cheap.
Pure. Like when it went super trendy, I was like, I hope there's people like making celery farms.
I know. I've thought about investing in one.
We're going to run out of celery.
Absolutely, yeah.
I went just to get some celery like from the market and there was none.
I know. Apparently it's not too hard to grow. So I'm looking into that now because I'm scared. I need my celery juice in the morning.
Like, yeah, but no, celery juice is amazing. I love that everyone's jumping on board with that. And it's not the easiest thing to drink either. But I think because people get such a benefit from it and it's something that you really do feel pretty much straight away. And I think with any juice, like even like my favorite juice is watermelon and beetroot. I love like straight away how it makes me feel and I see the results. So yeah, love it.
Watermelon's totally underrated, I think.
Oh, I see, I've actually always loved celery as a kid growing up. My mum used to give us celery and peanut butter and it was like a bit of a treat in my lunchbox. And I'm like, whenever I would get a juice, even as a kid, it was always orange, carrot and celery. And people would be like, celery? Why would you have celery? And I'm like, I actually just love celery. Yeah. It's so delicious.
That was not what my lunchbox looked like as a child.
Absolutely not. Well, let's go into that a little bit. We all know the current world of Lonnie, I did it already. I asked her before we started this how to pronounce it. We all know a lot about what you're up to nowadays and we're following you. We're super inspired by you. But can you take us back a little bit and let us know what your childhood was like?
In terms of health, not very good. I did not like fresh food. I did not like fruit. I didn't like, I remember my mum loved mangoes and I was like, ew. I'll not touch that. Like my sisters just loved to eat kiwi fruit. I think it really stemmed because maybe I just wasn't well or I had some really like toxic load issues as a young child that I just didn't acquire the taste for fresh things. I just loved processed food. I love salt. I think I had adrenal problems, you know, from an early age. I was addicted to salt. I would like hold the salt shaker in one hand and like the lamb chop in the other and every single bite was salt. On every single bite. It was just, I had to have a lot of flavor. So the processed food gave me that, but it also led me to feeling extremely low in health and just fatigued and low energy for the majority. Like I wasn't super active. I just wrote a section in my book about how I was as a child, like being active and stuff and how I am now. Like I remember in school, like remember the beep test?
Like I hated the beep test.
I would literally dread it. I tried everything to get out of it. It'd be like on the fourth beep and I'm like dead. My chest was on
that
fire.
That salt wasn't pushing you through.
No, I just couldn't produce the energy in my body. My cells were just not well. So I really loved processed food as a child and it took me a long time to actually realize what real food was. And it wasn't until, I got super, super sick. I just literally couldn't get out of bed. All these symptoms, all these issues coming up. Like I was constantly on antibiotics and I just hit rock bottom. And I was like, surely there's got to be something else than taking another round of antibiotics. Surely there's got to be something else, someone else that can help me that knows what's going on. So that's really what sparked the journey. But obviously I had to go through everything I went through as a, like in my childhood, my teen years to hit rock bottom to like now be where I'm at now. And that's why I'm so passionate about it and just so stuck on it because it makes me feel amazing. Like I never feel this good. Like even when I was 10, like I didn't feel this good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So love it.
I think that sometimes half the problem is people don't actually realize how good they can feel. And that's we're so used to as a society, you know, feeling tired, feeling lethargic, you know, we depend on coffee. We're like, oh, well, you know, I'm meant to feel like this because I'm working till midnight every night. And it's like we're not actually thinking back to the most basic things that we're actually putting in our body and how we're fueling ourselves.
Yeah.
Yet we're expecting ourselves to do late nights, to, you know, go out and party on the weekend and not actually thinking, hang on, how is my body meant to keep up with this?
Well, it's just like a car. Like if you just drive a car and drive a car and drive a car. You want to drive a car from Melbourne to Queensland and you don't want to put oil, fresh oil in it and coolant and give it the good fuel. You want to go and buy the cheap fuel. Like your car's just going to run like a pizza. Totally. Like it's just not going to run well. And your body's exactly the same. A lot of people say to me about, you know, I've shared a lot about trying to finish these books off and saying that I'm going to be doing all-nighters, or like they see on my stories that I'm up at, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning and 5 o'clock in the morning and 12:30, and, you know, they're like, sleep's really important. Like, don't you know that? Like, you know, you're sort of setting a bad message there. And I'm like, well, no, because for one, I think you have to hustle to get it done. Like, it's the dream. And, you know, when everything else is going on in your life, if you're not doing it on the side, you're not doing it.
Totally.
It's as simple as that. And I know how to do it properly by supporting myself. Like, if it's through the food I eat, if it's through the self-care practices that I do, even though I'm maybe not be doing it as much as I normally do, like, I can do a 15-minute sauna break. I can go and like lay out in the sun for 10 minutes and I can do a meditation. Like, I would never have done that back in the day. Mm. I would have just run myself into the ground, like drank some V's or Monster cans, and, like just powered through it.
Yeah.
And then just absolutely hit rock bottom at the end. So I'm at the end of, you know, this massive project that I've been working 2 years on and hustling on. Mm. And I'm like, I'm exhausted, but I'm good.
Yeah. You know?
Like, I'm good.
Because you have all these little tools and tricks now to recharge faster. Yeah. I love what you're doing because I work a lot with young girls. I'm a teen mentor. I have some programs and a lot of what they're going through is so similar to what you just spoke about. They're all getting to this age around 15, 16. They have gut issues, autoimmune problems, and it's really scary.
Like, it's happening earlier and earlier now.
Definitely.
Just because of how they were raised and the lack of knowledge, like from the parents. It's not the parents' fault not in a whole, because they were not raised that way. And they didn't have like things like the internet and stuff that we do now, so we can actually really find the truth. But it's definitely starting like younger and younger. And we're seeing these hormonal problems in girls as young as, you know, 7, 8 years old that are getting their periods and going through these hormonal changes they shouldn't be going through for another like 6 years, 7 years. They're going through their periods and these hormonal changes at 9, 10 years old. And then they're like, how can you be ready for that? And then you've got to deal with like the weight gain that comes from those hormonal changes. And if your hormones are disrupted and you've got like hormones out of whack, you're more prone to put on more weight. And then you have to deal with like being in high school and like all of that stuff. And it's just not nice to see. But I know that like as being a mother and like having kids, like I have a responsibility to try and teach my kids and open their eyes as much as I can to what I know.
Yeah.
And that's all I can do.
Yeah.
They're going to be exposed to all of the same stuff and even worse stuff than what I was exposed to, because it's way worse now. The packaged foods and the exposure to all the toxins and all of that stuff. But it's just about awareness, and you just have to raise your awareness and like share that with other people so they know too.
Yeah. Totally. I wish my mum was like you, feeding me vegetables and only vegetables from a young age, so I didn't know what the other stuff tasted like, so it wasn't such a struggle now.
But like really and Holly, like they still have stuff that tastes, you know, that's like a treat and stuff, but they just have – their palate is totally accustomed to good, clean, fresh food.
Nutritious,
like,
yeah.
Like Rowdy, if he's exposed to normal stuff, you know. Yeah. I guess I say normal because it's the majority. Mm-hmm. It's not normal to us because what we do is normal. But, you know, say we're at a party and like all the kids are eating, you know, meat lovers pizza and lollies and stuff. Like, he just won't touch it. He doesn't want to touch it. I'm not saying that there's like, if there's like a cake or something, because we've made cakes and muffins and stuff that he doesn't know. He doesn't necessarily know like, well, that mum makes that one and that doesn't look any different to the other one.
He's seeing that as the broccoli that we used to. Because we didn't have any broccoli, so all of a sudden it was like that was the thing. But he's thinking that about the cakes and stuff because it's a treat.
Yeah.
It's rare.
It's just, like, it's just different. He's like, oh, what's that? I don't know. He doesn't really care what everyone else is doing. Yeah. He's not really at that age, or Rowdy's really in his own world. Like, he just loves, like, he'll just happily sit there and eat his cucumber and everyone else is eating meat lovers pizza. And he's totally happy about it. Like, there's no, everyone's looking at me weird. Like, it's just natural to him.
It's amazing because he doesn't yet know the true benefits. He's just doing it because he feels good.
Yeah. And like, I'll make him like a cooked dinner. We'll make like spaghetti bolognese, you know, something like a little bit of a treat with like vegan cheese or something on it. Like, my partner loves that stuff. And Rowdy won't even, he'll be like, I'm not eating. He's like, I'm not eating that.
That is so
Mum,
cute.
Can I please have macadamias, sultanas and carrots? I'm like, sure.
My cousin, she has got a little girl. and her treat is a date and we'll be there. And she's like, Mum, can I have a date? And she's like pulling the dates like they're lollies. Yeah. And I'm like,
well, they are though. They're delicious.
Yeah, it's
and they're
so sweet. And that's what my cousin's like. She doesn't know. That's what she knows. Like that is sweet to her. And, you know, like I know now like a date is so sweet to me. Like even sometimes if I put them in the smoothie, I'm like, oh, that's too really sweet.
Too much,
because, but that's, like you said, that's how my palate is adapted now to food. And I find healthy food extremely tasty and delicious.
Like full of flavor.
Yeah. And like a raw caramel slice to me with full of dates is really sweet and is enough for to have as a dessert.
Yeah.
But it's just funny what just training their palate and just not allowing, if they're not having it, then they're also not missing it as well. That's
exactly
a thing.
Right.
So it's the moment, it's like TV. If you let them watch it or they know what it is, then they can miss it. But if they don't have it and they don't have that iPad, then how can they miss that?
Yeah.
So moving on to a little bit more of your hustle. Today you're a mother, photographer and the creator of Feel the Lean. Can you chat to us about your career so far and how you got to this point?
Everything I do now is an extension of what I've learned throughout my entire life. Even if I didn't think it was something that was going to be important, it became important now in my life. So even if I was doing a job that I didn't like, I learned from it and I applied it to what I'm doing now. Even if it was admin or promotional work or photography, whatever it was, everything I've combined into my own business now and my own hustle and what I do. So I started, Feel the Lean came after Instagram because Instagram came first. That was the first thing that came. I jumped on Instagram. I was a photographer, you know, I was working for an action sports company in Queensland after I moved from Melbourne and loved it. Like it was awesome. And one of my coworkers said, oh, you should check out this new app. It's called Instagram. And, you know, cause he knew that I love taking photos. He's like, you can just upload your photos onto like a gallery. And I was like, why? I've got Facebook. He's like, yeah, but it's just photos. Like you don't have to, like it's, you'll love it. And I was like, but why would people want to like follow that? I was just so confused. I'm like, but why would it, like, I don't need that. And he's like, I think you'll really like it. You can put filters on your photos. It's really cool. You can even make it private. So no
one
can
see. This is a waste of my time.
Yeah. I was like, ain't nobody got time for that. But I got it anyway. And you can scroll right back to like the first photos that I ever put up. And it's nothing like obviously what I am now, but I wanted to keep it there because I was one of the first sort of influencer people on Instagram. It was never I would never intended or ever thought that it would be to what it is now. Never, ever, ever. My brain it wasn't a thing. And so it was super authentic, jumped on Instagram, just started sharing my life, started, you know, as I share photos. That was sort of around the time that I was like starting to get really unwell. And I was partying a lot. Like I was always drinking, always doing something. And I got sick. I started to research more about like what I can do. And I just naturally shared that journey with whoever was following me at the time, 200 people. And it was never anything about how many people would see this, how to inspire people or anything like that. It was just like, I'm just documenting what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And that's still what I do now, but obviously on a much larger scale. So yeah, it just came from that. I just kept sharing. And then it just sort of started gaining momentum. I think people really gravitated towards that. They saw where I started and maybe that's where they were too. And then they were like, wow, she can do that. Like I can do that too. There's no reason why I can't do that because like she's done it before my eyes. So I think that's what really sort of gravitated people towards my page. And then, yeah, lots of people were just like, oh, you should write an ebook. You should write an ebook. Because I didn't have a blog. I didn't really have anything where I could share recipes. Yeah. And I didn't even really share recipes. I just kind of made heaps of random food because I was so new to the plant-based lifestyle. I was just making stuff all the time, just trying to get creative with it. And I've always loved cooking and stuff like that anyway. So it just sort of came natural to me. I just brought out my first ebook by demand from the followers. And then that just went gangbusters and that was amazing. And did another one. Yeah. So the first book, that's where Feel the Lean was born because I wanted a name for the book and I wanted something that resembled something that meant a shift and not just in the body, like a shift in the mind, a shift in the world. So Feel the Lean is like you're feeling the lean towards the next thing. You're leaning towards health. You're leaning towards your optimal body. You're leaning towards optimal health. like a better earth, a cleaner earth, a greener earth. So it's so much more than just like lean, than just about being lean. And maybe a lot of people don't actually even see that. And I have not actually ever really articulated that very well, but that's what it means to me. And that's where Feel the Lean was born. And it's just sort of, yeah, it's carried on through there. And it's now where it is. And I'm just about to release 2 brand new books.
Oh my goodness. Seriously, what a journey. It's so amazing though to see what you've done and how you've turned your life around. What was the initial turning point for you? Like, when did you have a bit of a light bulb moment, or was it
like
just that you, yeah, did yeah. you end up just actually being that sick that it was like, I need to do something else? And yeah. then you got so invested in finding out more and, you know, researching what you were doing and you wanted to share it.
The real turning point for me was that I'd went to the doctors once again, because that was the support that I had. And it was the only support that I knew. And I love my doctor, and he's still my GP now, and he's great. Although I have a lot of other people that I let support me too, like my naturopaths and stuff like that. But it was, yeah, once again, another round of antibiotics. And like, I honestly felt like it was the 20th round of antibiotics for the year. I was just like, I was in the worst pain. My bloating was, I couldn't wear a pair of leggings. Like, it was that painful and tight and hard. It was just, you know, I'd be constipated for weeks. It was really not good. Like, my gut health and my gut, now I know all about it. I'm just like, my gut bacteria was shot. I was throwing an atomic bomb on it every single week. Like, I'd get sick. I'd go and get antibiotics. I'd get sick. I'd go and get antibiotics. Like, that's what my doctor, that's what he knew how to help me. That's what a lot of doctors do know. That's what they know how to do. And I went to other specialists and stuff. But, yeah, I was just like, I walked out of there with this prescription and I'm like, there's got to be another way. There's got to be something else. So I just got on the internet and I just started to Google my symptoms. And some people say, don't do that, because it can be really scary, because you see, oh, you've got bowel disease and malaria. You've got malaria. You've got, well, I did have dengue fever, but I picked that up in Thailand and I got parasites and
probably the result of all the antibiotics weakening your immune system and picking up all of these.
Lots of, and all that sort of stuff. You know, my immune system was shot. I literally, someone would sneeze 500 meters away and I would get sick within 2 hours. I had no defense in my body. It was just like whatever was around, I would get it. I was puffy. Like, I would sometimes wake up in the morning and my eyes were like shut, that they were so puffy. My body was severely inflamed and I was just constantly swollen. I had so much water retention. I was addicted to salt. I had my minerals must have been so depleted. I was so mineral deficient. I was just done. I was done. I was like, no, I need to do something else. So I decided to help myself to start with and just do a heap of research. And I really just dived really deep into research. It's not just like the first answer that comes up on Google and the first blog you see or the first video you see on YouTube. Like, days and weeks and months and years of researching my illnesses and my symptoms so that I can try and get to the bottom of it. So when I did go to someone to help me, I actually knew something about myself and what, like, if you don't understand anything about yourself and what's going on with you, how can you possibly articulate that to someone who's trying to help you?
I actually saw a naturopath quite recently about my periods, because I I just get really excruciating pains like 2 days before. And I was like, I know this isn't right. Like, a period should come and go. So obviously there's something not right there. And when I was talking to her, I was describing all the feelings and these different sensations I'd get a few times, you know, before the period. And she was like sitting there kind of like really with this shocked look on her face. And I was like, oh, sorry, have I like said something wrong? And she's like, no, I actually just can't believe how in tune you are with your body. And I was like, what do you mean? And she's like that you know all of this is happening. And I'm like, well, it's my body, of course. Like, I'm just telling you what I feel. And she's like, no, you actually don't know how many people would come to me and can't even describe what they're feeling, but they know something's maybe not quite right.
Because they just suppress it.
Because they suppress it. And they're like, it's something as simple as all they need is more sleep, or they need, you know, more water or something like that. And so I'm simple. Like, it actually really got me thinking, because I'm like, I think we're just so accustomed to feelings these days and thinking, I'll just push through.
And putting the responsibility on someone else.
100%. Instead of just thinking, hang on, my body's functioning. Like, this isn't a normal feeling. Like, I shouldn't be really tired all the time, or I shouldn't, you know, even things like dandruff or, I don't know, weak nails or all of that. Like all of that is
it's
a,
all
sign
a sign
of 100%. Like
tell you
our
something.
Body's just trying to tell us that so something's all, not quite
a
right.
A symptom is just a signal.
Totally. Yeah. You were obviously just so in tune with that, that knowing that there wasn't something
well,
right.
Well, I wasn't.
You got to the point where it was like, well, something's going to give here. I can't just keep living like this. Yeah.
Because I just wasn't. Like, I just wasn't living. I was just so – I would sleep 15 hours and I would still wake up like I couldn't get out of bed.
Mm-hmm.
It was so hard and just everything was painful and, like, trying to work. Like, someone was paying me full time to work for them and I'm like a zombie. It's like getting blood out of a stone. Like, it was just, I'm looking at a computer screen just like there was just nothing there. And I, you know, and the just like that, the brain fog that came with it was so intense. Like, someone would ask you a question and you're like, it's there but you can't get it out, you know. And that's a real, like, heavy metal, like, overload too when you got a lot of metals going on in your body and, like, it just really messes up with your memory and your brain and, like, your communication and your speech and stuff like that. So, yeah, I had to get rid of it.
That's where the sauna comes in, yeah?
It's the best way to detoxify. It's not the only way. Of course, it's not the only way to detox, but it's so efficient.
Mm.
A far infrared sauna is extremely efficient in getting toxins and accumulated waste and, like, the toxic load out of your body.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it literally, like, the infrared waves go through your body and they vibrate your cells enough to release the contents of the cells, which comes out in sweat.
Yeah.
But what's stuck in the cells is your heavy metals.
Plastics.
Your plastics, your chemicals. And because you're fat, like, especially with cellulite's amazing to get rid of.
Oh, my gosh, my cellulite completely went away when I was using a sauna.
Wow. Well, that's
I was
that's
like,
surprising.
I've been doing everything my entire life and all I had to do was sit in a sauna. Yeah. Like,
and then when you pair saunas with, like, I sort of call them like health tools because you use them on your body and they're tools that help you become healthier.
Yeah.
And they only using health tools really accelerate the process. So, like, if you're in a sauna and you want to get rid of your cellulite, you will use a tool like a Gua Sha tool or something like a cupping because you're stimulating those cells and those fat cells to break apart even more. And then you're releasing all of that in sweat and then it's released out into the lymphatic system, into the blood system, and then you urinate it out or it comes out in waste and things like that. And if you continually keep doing that, then you're all good. Like, you just constantly keep getting it out of your body because we're always going to keep accumulating. But if we don't get rid of it, then it's just, it'll build up because our fat, that's what our fat cells are, like, supposed to do. They protect us. So especially with things like cellulite, like, anybody, you can have cellulite if you're super clean person and you do all that stuff. But say if you are not active and your fascia is tight, you can have cellulite.
Yeah.
If you sit at a desk for years and you don't move, but you're super healthy and you eat well, you can have cellulite because your fascia's tight and it's, like, you know, it's pulling. It's pulling different directions and you get that dimply type of effect. It might look a little bit different to someone who's overweight that has cellulite because it's more bumpy and raised in an overweight person. But then you can see that different types of cellulite in a skinny person, it's a little bit more flat and you can kind of tell it's more of a fascia issue because – yeah, it's just that, like, pulling of the tissues because the fascia's holding everything in.
Mm. I actually had my physio break it up for me every, like, you know, couple of months and I would walk out, the whole back of my legs was bruised. Yeah. But it needed to happen and he was doing it more from a functional point of view. No, he got the cup, the Chinese cup, twisted it on and then dragged it up and down my leg to the point where I was, like, crying, screaming.
That's what I do.
See, he was just doing it to me to help my hip pain and, you know, for functional reasons. And then I noticed as a byproduct that my cellulite had disappeared.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah.
What was he trying to get more blood flow to the area?
Trying to break up the fascia.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was in a period where my chronic fatigue was quite bad. And so there was obviously a lot of toxins building up that I weren't releasing. And I love what you said earlier about the sauna kind of being that final release because we do a lot of these I have done a lot of these protocols with naturopaths to kind of kill off the parasites or viruses or whatnot. Yeah. But what I didn't know was that I had to get it out.
Yeah.
And that was the final part of the healing.
Yeah.
Today, you and your beautiful family live on a plant-based diet. For someone that's new to this way of eating, can you give us some further insight into that?
it's so complex, and I don't ever want to give like the wrong information and make it sound like it's hard or it's easy. And I don't want it to come across like it's either of the two. It's a middle ground that you have to find yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's what I always try and inspire people to do. Yeah. It's everything I share. It might seem like it's all about me, but it's really got nothing to do about me. It's got everything to do with you. It's whatever resonates with you, with the information that I share. So I love a plant-based lifestyle. It works so well for me. I don't ever want people to think that it's the only thing that can work and it's the only thing that can work for you, because like it's not. And I think that, you know, I have such a broad perspective that I just know that not everybody's like me. Yeah. And also with climates and things like that, even with like I lived in Melbourne for 20 years, there's no way I could do exactly how I eat and what I do now living in Queensland if I were to do that here. I wouldn't wake up in the winter and eat half a watermelon for breakfast. There's no way.
Yeah.
You know, so you just have to adapt it to the way that it makes you feel. But for me, love it. Makes me feel amazing. I've been on this journey for nearly 8 years, vibrant as hell, just loving life, you know, 2 kids. I share my values with my family, but I don't force them to believe in my values. I value health and I value plants and optimal health and all that sort of stuff, but I don't want them to be forced to believe in what I believe in. And especially being young children, they have a mind of their own. I will raise them as well as I know how, but if they ever want to go a different way or do something else, then, you know, as long as they have the awareness that comes with it and the education that I will, you know, hopefully give them when the time arises, that they can make their own decisions and base the values on what they like, what lights them up inside. So they don't get to like 20 and 25, and, you know, and then they feel like, I can't do that because like my mum wouldn't agree, or because his values or my daughter's values are different to mine. And that's the same thing with everybody who follows me. Like, I just want people to find what lights them up inside. And if their highest value isn't health, they're probably going to fail at it. And then they're going to feel like a failure. Mm. So you just need to try and align your values. A really good way to do that is there's a guy called Dr. DeMartini. Have you ever heard of Dr. John DeMartini? Yeah, he's amazing. And he really talks about values and how to find out what your values are. Mm-hmm. Because you can ask a lot of people, like, what are your highest values in life? And they're like, what's a value?
Yeah.
And really it's what you put your most time into, what you spend your most time thinking about, and what you spend your most time doing.
Yeah.
And that's easily mine is health. Okay. As much as like it's family as well, health is still the base of it. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have the family and I wouldn't have the vibrant life if I didn't have the health. And because I've lost the health before, I realize that it has to be the foundation of my life. And because of like my sensitive immune system and body growing up, that if I went against that value and tried to do something else, then I feel like my life would kind of crumble. Yeah. Because if I didn't support my body, I'm not going to be me. I'm not going to feel good. Mm-hmm. And I won't be able to be the mom and have the kids and have the business and do everything that I do if that foundation of my life wasn't my highest value, which is health.
I think you just articulated that so perfectly, honestly.
I'm glad.
And like, I think it's so true what you say about, you know, everyone has to find what's right for them. And, you know, if you are living in Melbourne, it might not be the best lifestyle, or, you know, you're obviously in
fresh. You can still do it. You can do it great in Melbourne. It's just in colder climates. But don't.
Totally.
If you're trying to do everything I'm doing, like, oh, I must do because Lonnie drinks the juices and she drinks a 2-liter smoothie and it's icy cold, and you try and do that in a cold climate, like, your body's probably going to like not really like you for it, and you're going to be super cold and you're going to want to sit over a heater and it just doesn't, it's not right. Like in nature, if you were in the snow or you were in a cold climate and you were trekking through, you wouldn't come across a watermelon.
Yeah.
You're not going to come across a pineapple or mango. Mm-hmm. The whole climate and the warmth and the cold, it's in synchronicity with the food and what's grown and what's available to you. So like, try and just go to your local markets.
Yeah.
Go and see what's in season. Like, talk to your local farmers and see what they're growing, because if it's in your area and it's grown by a local farmer, it's in season and it's supposed to be eaten at that time. So, yeah, I'm pretty funny about just like, I just always want people to just like try and do what lights them up and what feels good when you're doing it. Don't just do it because like I do it. As much as I want to influence people to eat better, I don't want them to do exactly what I do.
To copy your lifestyle.
That's why I don't give out, you know, like these what I eat in a day and all these crazy meal plans and stuff, because I just want people to do what they need to go on their journey.
Yeah,
like, absolutely. It's not about me and trying to be about me. I want it to be about you.
Mm-hmm. Going back to what you said about the values, I think that is absolutely spot on because I know this morning I wanted to make a smoothie and I was like, oh, I've got no bananas. So I had to walk up to the health food store so I could get the bananas. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm quite focused on buying organic products. So I walked out and I was on the phone to my brother and I was like, God, it's actually a real effort like having to eat like this. And I'm like, I'm lucky that I love it so much and that I want to because not everyone could do that. And when you said that, I was like, that is exactly why I'm making this effort because I do value my health and I love putting good foods in my body. But it's so true. You wouldn't do that if you didn't value it. So it's
but
like,
anything, isn't anything an effort that you want to get a result
totally,
or a reward out
of? It's like if you're going to put the effort in, you need to love it or you need to be passionate about it. It's like being in a job. Like if you're going to put long hours in, you need to love it and to be passionate about it. So it is finding what you really value.
Yeah.
We'll be right back after this healthy break. Beautifully Healthy, an exciting destination for online shoppers who are passionate about their health and beauty. As an online health, beauty and wellness community, you'll benefit from the range of relevant on-trend brands at affordable prices, personalized offers, gifts, specials, and rewards. You'll also have access to rich content and easy to navigate web pages to make your shopping experience simple and easy. It's the feel-good place for all your health, beauty, and wellness needs. So hustle your way to beautifullyhealthy.com.au and register. That's all you need to do to receive a $20 gift voucher.
My partner's actually an NLP coach and the first session he does with every single client is the value hierarchy. I don't know all of them, but growth, love and connection, health, you know, and there's probably about 15 of them.
Yeah.
And just sitting down and nutting those out when I journal, and sometimes they change, you know, your values change as you
have
kids.
You've got a group of them. Yeah.
Totally.
I've got a whole group of values and they chop and change, but like when I say like the value, my foundation of my values is health, it's because it's like in like a pyramid type of thing or everything, an umbrella. The health is the umbrella for me. It holds everything underneath it together.
I'm very similar. And so, it's probably because we've both lost our health at some point that we value it so much because we know what it's like to not have it and that nothing else works when you don't have your
health. Nothing works. Like you just feel just not good. Like you just can't thrive and you can't go and do the things you want and you can't chase the dreams because you're just exhausted for one and
look after your family.
Yeah. We can't even have a family. Yeah. Like I wouldn't have even been able to get like pregnant and like just do all the things that I've done if I wasn't healthy and I didn't support myself the way I did. And so that's just why it is. Yeah. The whole baseline of my value system is health.
In today's society, there is a lot of speculation and different opinions around plant-based diets and especially raising children on plant-based diets. I know it's something that my husband and I talk about all the time and I'm all for it, but obviously there's a lot of people that have never even dabbled into a plant-based lifestyle. How, yet with all that you cop, you know, like you do get some negative comments on social media that I've seen, which is, you know, really I believe unfortunate because I think you're putting a beautiful message, but you just handle yourself with such grace throughout the whole process. And I just love to know if that affects your mental health or if you have any tactics in that when it is kind of getting a little bit much or people are being really hurtful about your choice of lifestyle.
Yeah. I'm not saying that I definitely haven't been shook, you know, by what people say, especially when they bring my kids into it or my family. I'm like, oh no, you didn't. Like, that's not cool. But it comes with the territory. You put yourself out there in the world, people are going to have an opinion. It's just the way it is. Like, I don't have to like it. They don't have to like me. People always judge what they don't understand. Like I said that on that 60-minute story because they will judge what they do not understand. And this is one of them. They don't understand, like, this is a new realm, this plant-based eating and raising a family and all that sort of stuff and, you know, living the dream and all that. Like, a lot of people just don't get it and they're going to go against it because they just think it's not attainable for them. Yeah, I'm not saying that there's been some really harsh stuff said that hasn't shook me, but I'm pretty solid in who I am. Like I know what I'm doing and I know that it feels right. If it felt wrong, I would be shook and I probably wouldn't be here because I couldn't be solid. Like there's no way I could sit in front of someone asking me questions on like – you know, with all these cameras rolling and like if I didn't know who I was, if I didn't know what I'm trying to do or just who I am, like just in the way I carry myself, I just don't even think I could sit in front of a camera like that or even like sit here and do a podcast because you have to be on the spot. And I think when it gets too much, like I just take a step back and just really ground myself and just I've had times of anxiety and stuff, especially after I had Polly. And I sort of mentioned it in the post this morning about the whole work career balance stuff and the judgments, you know, you'd get from people like, oh, you know, well, you send your kids to childcare and all this stuff and like you should be with them all the time and like just people's constant judgment. Like I got to the point of like I would be wanting to put a post up and I would already pick out like 100 things that I knew that people were going to say.
And you then I'm like, rebuttals ready.
I'm like, can't be bothered, not even gonna post, you know. So I really I've withdrawn from social media and sharing my life. I might have still been there, but I'm not really there. I've well and truly come straight back into it. And I'm just trying to just get that vulnerability and that innocence back that Instagram was before it really blew up. And like, you know, I've had a lot of media stuff from early on, like when I was first pregnant with Rowdy. And I did a story with the Daily or news.com.au or something and then end up going viral around the world about like me eating 10 bananas for breakfast or something. And it's like the people that said the most harshest things because I ate 10 bananas for breakfast. It's like, what do you mean? Like what? Yeah, or they're like, oh, your baby's going to die and you're going to die and you're not even going to get through this pregnancy, like blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, why would you say that to another human being?
It would have been such a big deal back then too, but now you've got the medical mediums of the world that are really
I'm so stoked, you know, and it's funny because I was just thinking about medical medium the other day because I'm like, he is such a different soul. Like, he's so not from this planet. Like, when I actually look at him, I'm like, he has been like in the spirit realm for such a long time. And it's so refreshing to see someone who's made such a global impact talk about spirit.
Yes.
Because I've not truly, because I've only really come into like this channeling spirit realm and being open to talking about it, you know, within probably like the last 4 years. And I love that he just like, come from spirit. I just got this from spirit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I love that because it's so true because like literally half of my book is just written by everything that I got from a spirit sense, from a channeling, from a meditation or a zone. And I literally write something and it's like I've just learned it on the spot. It's came to me right there and it's like that is the truth.
Yeah.
It's something that it's really hard to explain, but I love that like that medical medium and even the name he chose for himself, medical medium.
Yeah. A question for all the celery lovers out there. I'm like worried now because I'm not always getting organic celery and someone told me the other day that it's probably worse that I'm drinking celery juice if it's been,
I wouldn't. And
it's
I think
really
too because
– fine though.
I know. But it's not going to taste – like it tastes pretty terrible, like non-organic celery because it really – like I had a non-organic cucumber the other day and I couldn't eat it. The skin was so thick and so bitter. I was like, this is just – pesticides in a skin. That's literally what it's. And my son wouldn't eat. Rowdy was like, that is disgusting, Mum. Like, he never turns his nose up at cucumbers. And I was like, what do you mean,
it's
mate? Like, give us
different.
A, yeah.
Like, completely different.
And celery, because it holds so much fluid that it's really soaking up everything that it's fed while it's been growing. So I would be a bit funny about not having it organic.
The soil of where our food is actually being grown is like the
depleted, most
important key thing to our food.
Yeah.
Yet we're not even aware of that and we're buying vegetables from supermarkets that are supporting conventional farming that are basically just full with chemicals and, you know, nitrogen.
And they don't have – and they only put 3 minerals back. Like
literally.
Conventional farming puts 3 NPK, nitrous, phosphorus and
potassium. Yeah.
So they – that's 3 minerals out of like 90-plus minerals.
But they're even – like they're poured into them or like done with, you know, seeds that are already – synthetic or something. Do you know what I mean? Like there's so many different.
Yeah. Well, you're getting a depleted soil, you're getting a modified seed and then you're spraying all the pesticides and the Roundup and all whatever, all that crap on it. And then 100%. You're just putting like tap water full of fluoride and bromide and all these stuff.
Definitely.
You're putting that's, and then the plant sucks it up and then you eat
and wondering why everyone has autoimmune illness.
Totally. And that's where I guess it goes back to what you were saying before about things being your value. And it does take time to buy organic. Like that,
organic is a value in itself. It's a value, you have to absolutely. You have to understand
to spend
it.
More money. You have to, like, I know, you know, my husband and I even had this conversation around, like, he's like, well, you know, our shopping bill has just doubled because you're buying all organic. And I'm like, okay, well, let's cut costs somewhere else. And it is.
Yeah.
That has to be a value, or it has to be important to you to be able to want to do
but
it.
But you have to understand it to be important, because if you don't understand why not to eat organic, or why to eat organic, why it's important, not just for our body but for the earth and for the soil and the animals and the water systems and all that sort of stuff, you won't do it, and you won't connect those dots before you don't buy that organic thing, and you're like, nothing in your brain is ticking and you're like, oh, well, that one's like, you know, a couple of dollars cheaper, I'm just going to buy that one. And without any of that, because you don't, if you don't have the knowledge behind it, you're not connecting those dots. And
it won't be sustainable.
Yeah, it's just not. So I'm not saying like every, I'm sort of like 98% organic. Like sometimes I will buy things non-organic, maybe like things like avocados and
things with a hard shell around
stuff
them.
That like I can't necessarily get organic, or if I do want to get it, it's literally like $40 a kilo or something. And my kids like they need to eat like bucket loads of them.
Yeah,
or spray free, you know, I'll go with like a spray free, but organic's optimal, but it's just not always
or
always
even
optimal.
Just looking like I know with berries, because obviously they're ridiculously expensive organic and I eat them every single morning, I try to just at least look where they're grown, like, and if it's in obviously like a colder climate that's further away, I'm like, okay, well, hopefully the soil is a little bit better there. Obviously you can't help with the transport and all of that, what it actually goes through to get to the supermarkets, but I think it's almost like making those judgment calls as well of like,
but it's even like the berries, like as beautiful as berries are, but
they're sprayed
and they're in plastic and they're soaking in like a plastic sheet so it's like, why though? So it's really hard, because I'm like that, like I love organic berries and stuff. I go to the organic market and it's supposed to be like a plastic free place, and you know, all the berries are in
plastic
containers with the little soaky thing, and you know, especially raspberries and stuff, like they really absorb what their surroundings are. And then I'm like, that's not worth $10. Like I'm just playing for a box of plastic. So I try and source, like I'd been getting bulk berries, like wild blueberries and stuff like that, not always easy to get, really, really hard to get. But I'll rarely buy like fresh berries now, just because they're really hard to buy organic. It's like $10 a punnet. And I just, they need a change. Like the organic movement is going to shift. It has to come down. The price has to come down, because more and more people, like
there's a demand
more and more
for
people
it.
Buying, there's a demand for it. It's there. So why aren't they dropping their prices? But it's still this, it's this battle between conventional farming, because it's so cheap.
Yeah.
So, so cheap. And you try and do it organic and you try and not spray all that stuff. Like I've had veggie.
Oh my God. I try and I'm
it's
like,
hard.
Oh, I really want to go and get something to spray these.
Yeah, because like
it's
these
just
bugs
like there's
like
bugs eating holes everything. In everything. And I'm like, I get it now. I get why it's so expensive. And then it becomes a value. Yeah. I'm like, now I appreciate
also,
why I'm spending so much.
It doesn't, when you have really good soil and you put all the minerals in the soil and all the microorganisms in the soil from the compost and everything, the immune system is in the soil. And it, you don't get as many bugs.
Yeah.
You're not going to get like, you still will, but not like if you have a really weak soil and you're not replacing the minerals and the nutrition in the soil and you're just trying to turn over this veggie garden that's constantly getting attacked by bugs and they're not growing and they're all yellow and, you know, well, it's the soil. It's the foundation is the health of the soil. If you don't have the nutrition in the soil, you're not going to have the nutrition in the, in whatever you're growing it in.
Yeah.
So
just on that, are you visiting the farmers markets on Saturdays? Do you have a store that stocks organic food? Do you grow your own or a bit of everything?
So I do. I go to an organic market every Sunday, and I've got a guy which I only get my bananas from him. I'm getting like 15 kilos of bananas a week from him for 8 years now. He's amazing. And so I do that on a Saturday and then go to the organic markets in Miami on a Sunday. And I've had my own garden for a couple of years, but now it's now I didn't put like a protective layer on the bottom of my garden bed. So the grass has completely grown up through, like the root system is insane. I have to literally scoop it all out and start again. So, which is fine. I just haven't had the, I've just been super occupied with all my spare times going into this book, but I so miss, like there was nothing better. Oh, there's nothing better than like you just go outside and you pick a fresh lettuce, some fresh kale, some fresh herbs. And I used to love just taking dates outside, like medjool dates, picking some fresh lettuce, like wrapping the dates wrapping the dates in the lettuce, and like me and Raddy would just sit out there and just like eat dates and lettuce, like just straight from the garden, take an avocado out with a bowl and just put avocado and greens and some like Celtic salt. It's perfect. That's like the perfect lunch. Like it's so rewarding picking your own food. And greens was the best. Like,
something, right?
I just had lettuce. Growing. I just had greens and lettuce and spinach and herbs. They grow so easily and so well.
Yeah.
And it's just abundance of greens. And when you don't really feel like maybe eating a salad, you just put it in a smoothie. You just put a whole lettuce in a smoothie with bananas.
Totally. And even if you just start with the herbs, which is what I did, and then I realized that I was saving so much money on herbs that I end up throwing half out. And then I started building up because I was like becoming addicted to the gardening. Yeah. I was like, oh, I've got to get a worm compost
now. It does, but it takes a lot of time. Like you've got to put time into it if you want like a really thriving, like continuous garden. But it is something that you can sort of delve into and then you can have a break. And there's you're not always going to be able to just like, unless you're an old lady and you're always home or something, like you can do it all the time. Mm. But it is something you have to maintain.
It's really great if you can get whoever you're living with involved so that it becomes a bit of a social thing and, you're not the only one that has to think about watering the plants
every day. And I think like the more love you get, it's like your house plants, right? Like if you don't – sounds a bit strange, but like if you don't give love to your plants, they're not going to thrive. Mm. They're just not going to grow very well. They'll look a bit sad and you just leave them inside all day. They don't even see any light and you might water them like once a week. Like, and then you're wondering why all the leaves are falling off and like – you need to like love it. Yeah. It's just like a little child. Like you need to love it. You need to feed it and like know that like it just so it feels like nurtured and then it'll thrive and give it the right stuff. Like give it minerals. I make this like super random concoction. So my partner eats eggs and I'm always about like if someone's going to have something like an animal product, like use it, use all of it. It's got a purpose. So the shell of an egg is super nutritious and it's amazing for plants. So I save all of the eggshells that like he's ever, ever eaten. And like at the end of the year, I will put all of the eggs into a blender, all the eggshells into a blender. Like they're dry, they're completely dry. Put a bit of diatomaceous earth, put a bit of seaweed, a bit of Epsom salts, a bit of water, blend it up. It's like this big mush, stinky thing. Put that on my plants and it's like,
nuts, yeah.
Absolutely amazing.
My mum, we always had a compost bin as kids, like we lived down at the beach. Yep. So my mum's a bit of a hippie at heart. I say totally not a hippie, but I mean, I'm like, it's the only way. I guess back then when I was a kid,
she would have been a
hippie, like regarded, I guess, as a hippie. And whenever we had eggs, she'd put the shells straight into the compost bin.
Yep.
So I've always put shells into compost or like reuse them. Yep. So yeah, it's always, I think, the more that can go back into the soil and back into the environment, it's just a flow-on effect, really.
Yeah, it's totally. And yeah, I think like if you're going to live off like animal products and animal stuff like that, like just be a bit more conscious of it.
Definitely.
And, you know, not just like this grab and go, grab and throw, like just really think about the animal and like and what it gives you.
Definitely.
And what it gives the earth and what it can give back instead of just like what it can give you in the moment, like to satisfy your, you know, the flavors and the taste in your mouth. Like it's just so much more than that.
And I think that even goes to when you're purchasing products as well, of just being aware of where they're coming from and the starting point. Like I think that's probably something that started making me quite aware, you know, of where I was buying my fruit and veggies from. Because I'm like, if this stuff is on sale in Coles or Woolworths for $1.50, that product actually had to, first of all, it had to be grown, it then had to be packed, it then had to be transported, then had to be put on these shelves. Like the amount of people that's actually touching, the amount of wages that need to be paid, not to mention the people who actually grew it and the time it took to grow it.
Yeah.
What are they actually earning out of this? Like, you know, there's a lot of, I guess, more eyes.
Well, they don't look at the farmers in Australia.
Exactly. Like, and they're like, there's a lot of suicide rates.
Yeah, don't they have the highest suicide rate?
Massive.
And the highest like ice addict.
Huge.
Rate. Absolutely. I think
the stats, like, don't quote me here, but it's around like 1 in 3 dairy farmers are actually committing suicide now because of what the effects of large supermarkets are doing and how, you know, Coles, milk's a dollar now going forward. Like, how can you make something like that?
It's disrespectful to the animal though.
And to the people
who are raising them.
and like have families, and their families have been working on these farms for generations and generations. And here we are grabbing our $1.
Yeah, but doesn't that just show you how disconnected we have got? Like, we are so disconnected from our food. So disconnected.
And I'm like, I think the awareness almost just needs to start there. Like, when you're picking up a product in a supermarket, just for like 2 seconds, think about where that actually came from and the family that's growing that, or the animal that's, you know, had to have that egg or give, you know, give birth to an egg. But yeah, I think, you know, I sometimes have to remove myself a little bit too, because it's like a snowball effect in my head. And once I start thinking about something, I'm like, oh God.
I call that the connect the dots. I apply the connect the dots with like most things in my life. Like, if I need to figure something out or try and get back to the core of something or the reason or, you know, whatever it is, I use like a connect the dots. And I've done like quite a spread of this in my book of examples of like how I do it and how you can apply it. So it's exactly what you just said, like going back, and you can also apply it to the choices that you make, like every single choice that you make, and you connect the dots either going backwards to see where it, what it resulted in, like where it got you today, or you can go forward and go, if I make this choice now and I just connect the dots 10 dots from now, like where is that going to take me and what that result will be 10 dots from now.
God, I love that so much.
Gosh, can you give us an example?
Yeah, okay. So say you connect the dots, right, with, say you've got a candida problem.
Yeah.
And a lot of girls listening to this, you know, you're dealing with like a thrush issue or something like that. Your doctor's told you you've got a candida overgrowth and you have no idea how to help it. Maybe you think it's like a sugar thing or something, or, you know, maybe lay off the alcohol, whatnot. So like your friends ask you to, it's a Friday night, you've been working all week, you feel pretty crap, but like you just want the weekend. So your friend's like, let's go out, let's have some drinks. You can either make the choice to go out and then connect the dots from there. You go out, you're going to drink. You're going to drink lots of sugary stuff. You're then going to feel like eating bad food. You might eat some hot chips, eat some chocolate, whatever you want to do. You're going to wake up in the morning, you're going to feel even worse. You're going to feel guilty that you even did that and that you didn't take any responsibility for yourself and your health, and that you can't propel yourself forward because you can't make the right choice. Those dots keep going downhill. You're literally, unless you make one good one and then make another, you're not going to get momentum to keep going forward and get to that like 10th dot where you've actually got the result of something positive. If you go forward, say, yep, you found out you got the candida problem, whatnot, you want to help yourself, your friends ask you to go out on a Friday night, you tell your friends what your problem is. You say like, I've got this problem, I really need to try and help myself. I really appreciate if you supported me through this. Like, I would love to be out there with you, but just like give me some time to heal. And then, you know, or you say, would you girls like to come out to breakfast tomorrow morning? I found this amazing cafe. It's supposed to be really fun. Like, you know, maybe let's keep going out and let's have an early breakfast and then go for a walk through the botanical gardens. That is the choice that is going to propel you to get the result at the end of the 10th dot. You know what I mean? So you have a good night's sleep. You do some research on what might be able to heal you. The next morning you go to a beautiful breakfast with your bestest friends. You're not hungover. You're not feeling like absolute shit. Yeah, you might not have had like the blast of the night and like all the funny shit that happened and you're speaking about it the next day. But you get a sense of like,
you're on the right track now.
Yeah, but when you bring your friends into it too, and other people who you love and respect, it just really helps you move forward. And if they understand your journey, even if they don't do it with you, if they understand why you're doing it, and that's why you have to articulate it to them, they're not going to understand. If they don't have the same problem, they're not going to get it. So that's just sort of the first thing. You just need to make that first decision. And then once you do your first good choice, it'll connect with another good one. But as soon as you take a bad one, it doesn't, if you've got far enough in the good ones and you take one bad one, you'll feel shit about it, because you'll feel straight away the effects that come from it. But then you can propel yourself even, it's like pulling like a slingshot back. Yeah. You can go back, but when you make the choice from that back point forward, it's like because you know how terrible that bad choice made you feel. And it was just like a light bulb moment, like, oh, like I've been going so good. I've been on such a roll. And then I did that, like, you know, maybe the week later you went out and drank the next weekend and then you woke up in the morning and like, you know, your thrush has come back, or like you just feel so lethargic. You got the biggest headache. Like you can't get out of bed, whatever it is that makes you feel that way. But you're aware of it.
Yeah.
You're not like, oh yeah, this is just life, like to feel this crap. Yeah. You're like, actually, like, no, I've been feeling amazing because I've been making good choices. So then you propel yourself forward even further, and then you can just get closer and closer to your result. So that's kind of an example of connecting the dots. Like,
love that.
You can do it going back. So when you want to try and figure out what's wrong with you or why something happened or like why you had a fight with that person, why did that go that way? Or you just connect the dots going back. What were all the points that brought it to the where it is now?
Yeah. Mm.
And then you can see patterns and habits and things that trigger things that end up in a result of what it is. Once you know what got you to where you were by connecting the dots backwards, you can then go forwards and like kind of predict the future because you know what you need to do to be able to get to that point.
So I'm assuming it'd be confusing. A cool journaling exercise, like writing it down.
Yes,
because cool. I do something called the five whys, which is a little bit different, but yep. It's a similar kind of, you know, taking yourself through a technique. And I have to write it down. That's just me.
Oh, like, and writing it is so powerful because when you see it and also when you write it, and that's why like I've always been a journal. I've always had a journal since I was a child. And when you can go back on, and even it's like taking photos, when you take photos, like I always, throughout the start of my journey, I took a lot of photos of myself because I was like, I'm going to change. Like, this is not me. I do not feel like me right now. I'm holding on to something else right now. This is all toxic stuff that's just attached to me. And I knew that I was going to change and I wanted to look back. So it's really important to like write things down of like where you want to be and, but not in a way where it's really unattainable. Just like be realistic. You don't have to do it years from now. Do it a week. Sum up all the good choices you can make in a week that will propel you to get to a really good result in 1 week. You don't have to go to the gym every day. You don't have to do something every day. It's super extreme. Just make one simple good choice every single day and it will like,
it's a flow and effect almost, isn't it? Like,
it's a good positive ripple effect. And then you just be gentle with the journey and like let it happen and love yourself and just understand that like you are gifted with this body.
Definitely.
You are gifted with this mind. Just do the right things to like make it flourish.
Mm-hmm. I'm really glad that you touched on that because a few messages I've actually got through Instagram have been around like, you know, I'm trying to be really healthy, but then like, you know, my friends are still really social and I'll be really good for 2 weeks and then I go out on a weekend and like I'm hungover and then I eat bad food. And, you know, I always say to them, I don't have the right answers, but for me, it's like, one, just don't feel guilty for having that night out because you obviously needed it or there was something inside you that was telling you you needed to be around your girlfriends and go out and party.
Yeah.
Recognize how you felt after that and then just work towards injecting another little healthy habit or something into your day every day and reward yourself, you know, like be proud of yourself, like literally say out loud, you know, I'm so proud of you for going for a walk every morning or for drinking 3 liters of water or for eating more plant-based and like, you know, really encourage yourself like a best friend would and for what you've done instead of trying to be
holding on to the guilt of 100%, one choice.
We go like so full pace. And I know it's something my husband and I talk about a lot because when we were younger, we used to like party heaps and stuff. And, you know, then he started his business and that was going quite well. And he was really struggling to find that balance of like, you know, still being that guy that went out and was, you know, had fun with his friends and a bit of a life of the party with, hang on, I'm actually building a business right now. And it's, you know, I need to be a certain person for the business.
Yeah.
And we talk a lot about that of finding that balance. And we say like, sometimes I'm like, just go out, like have a big night. You're going to feel so crap and you're going to lay on the couch on a Sunday. And you know, for the next 2 months, you're never going to want to do that again because you know how much it affects your whole week. So it's like almost just allowing yourself to do it, not letting the guilt slip in too much, just recognizing how it made you feel.
Yeah.
And then
it's just that awareness of what it is, what it's doing. And there's nothing wrong with like going and partying. Like I did it for years. I had a great time, but I don't regret. There's so many better ways to do it.
Yes.
Like you don't have to flog yourself and go on a bender from Friday till Monday. You just don't need to. There's so many other ways you can have fun. Mm-hmm. And if you're doing it for, you know, try and recognize the reasons of why you're doing it. Definitely. Are you doing it for you? Are you suppressing something? Are you trying to be someone else? Are you trying to impress someone else? Are you trying to be like your friends? Like, are you just doing it because they want to do it? Like, you know, it's hard when you're young because you are super impressionable and you're not, you don't, you have no idea what that could even do to your health. Yeah. Like what 5 years of solid binge drinking can do to you. Mm-hmm. and then you're 30 dealing with like infertility issues and hormonal problems and thyroid problems, and you've like holding onto all this weight and whatnot. Yeah. And you're like, yeah, maybe I wish I didn't like drink so much and do all that. But I think with drinking is you can drink and you can get drunk. Just drink the right drinks.
Yes.
Don't drink the sugary, like processed, flavored crap.
Yeah. Be mindful of like how you're leading your day in as well. Like, you know, eat a really nourishing lunch, have lots of water, like, you know, come home, drink water, have a hydrolyte, like do the things that at least you're giving your body some form of support during that time instead of
if you don't, if you want to still go and drink, but you want to wake up feeling somewhat of a normal person, you need to put in the effort to be able to feel that way. Definitely. You need to remind yourself when you are drinking, like have a water with a lot of lemon juice in the middle of your drinks every single time, even if it's a shot of water and lemon, like just shot the water. The lemon will literally flush out your liver and you will feel a million times, like a million times. You could be still as drunk as you could possibly want to be, having the absolute best time of your life, but you will wake up a different person in the morning.
Mm.
Like I always drink charcoal.
Oh my God, I was just going to say that.
Oh, I love,
when I've had a wine, I'm like, charcoal.
Yeah, I just drink the charcoal. Like it just, some people say, oh no, it doesn't work, like that's stupid, but it does, because I do it nearly every single time I drink. And I had years off drinking. I was sober for nearly three or four years. And it helped me just gain that self-control of just like, I do not need to drink.
All that we're saying, it just goes straight back to being mindful, isn't it? Like it's just being mindful of how you feel when you put yourself in that state, like of just nurturing, you know, like I still definitely have big nights. Like I'm not, I don't want anyone listening to this to think that I don't.
Yeah.
Or to be like, oh, I've seen her out. She's been drunk.
Yeah.
I definitely absolutely still have a great time with my girlfriends. But I think it's just being more mindful now of, yeah, that day I know I need to like be really careful of what I eat. On the Monday, I'll go to a infrared sauna. I'll go and get a charcoal juice from the juice store up the road. And like, you know, I'll just make sure that I'm giving my body at least something to say.
And it does, but it's not something though. Like nasty. Don't even be sorry. Like if you're going to want to drink and you want to do it, if you're holding any guilt with that or shame, that in itself is going to do harm.
100%. That's the worst.
So like accept.
Exactly.
Just be like, do I want this? Like, is this, you know, and just love it when you're doing it.
Definitely.
And don't hold on to the guilt like, oh, I shouldn't have drank last night. Like unless you seriously know that you need to stop, which a lot of people do.
For any of the hustlers who are listening, who are probably in a 9-to-5 job or working 9-to-5 plus have a side hustle, what's a quick and easy, delicious dinner that you make that they could try whipping up at home to keep their little hustle really, really healthy?
Oh, wow. There's a lot. My favorite at the moment. Okay. So if I'm going to say something like really fresh and simple, and this sounds like people just say that it sounds ridiculous or it is ridiculous, but it's not. Lettuce, avocado, and salt.
Ooh.
Celtic
salt. Lemon?
Not just salt. Well, you can have lemon if you want. And I just like the salt. I just like that little bit of salt. It just really like amplifies the flavors of the avocado and the lettuce. But like I love that even if it's just a side. Like I'll eat a whole meal of that, like a whole avocado, a whole head of lettuce and a little bit of Celtic salt, because Celtic salt's got like over 80 minerals in it. And that's like a meal for me. I love that. Super cleansing. And then you wake up feeling like if you can just keep it to that, great. But a lot of people are not going to be satisfied with that, you know, especially.
Once you change your palate, maybe you can.
Oh, 100%. Like, I'd love, mate, I used to eat, I wouldn't be satisfied if I didn't get a chicken parma with like extra gravy on my chips. And now I'm like eating a whole head of lettuce for dinner with like avocado and salt. Like it's so simple.
It's so great when you can be satisfied with such an easy meal. You don't have to stand there and cook for 2 hours. And
I'm all about the simplicity. Like I'm busy and as everybody is. And like I just want simple, quick things that are going to nourish me, going to fill me up, that I don't have to think about eating for a good couple of hours. And like most of my meals are based on that. It's like what's going to satisfy, nourish and fuel for the next project, for the next adventure, whatever it is in that time frame before the next meal. So it's eating so much more about fueling and not just like taste, even though it does taste good, but it's more about the fuel and the nourish.
And you said earlier that you eat lettuce with dates and, you know, is lettuce like quite a staple for you?
Love
because
it.
I never would even think to put lettuce with dates, but I'm going to try that.
Yeah, when you get really good organic lettuce, it tastes so good.
Crispy.
And you can get different types of, like, you can get the real crisp, like, iceberg, and then you can get a really soft, like, butter lettuce. I love butter lettuce. It's just so soft, and the
and it's very cleansing for the liver, right? Am I right about lettuce? So cleansing.
Well, there's a lot of potassium in greens, and it's really flushing as well, like alkalizing. People underestimate the power of lettuce. They just think like, oh, it's just like this.
State
maybe
killer.
The lettuce you get from Coles, like the iceberg that's like literally clear. It's hardly even green. Yeah, that's probably not going to be
doing. It's definitely not crispy.
It's like all soggy on the outsides. And no, maybe not that lettuce, but like a beautiful organic lettuce, or if you can grow it yourself, so nourishing for the body. But another one that I've been loving and it's been really comforting for me is like been really getting into risottos.
Ooh.
And I always thought risottos were like not a thing on like a plant-based lifestyle because you really needed butter and you needed chicken and like things in it. But it's so not the case. And I thought it was really hard to make because you have to like stand there and stir it. And I don't know, I think I watched this one thing on MasterChef like years and years ago. Like, you know, it was so hard to make like risotto. And I was like, it's actually not. It's very simple and it's very quick and you can whip it up in 20 minutes if you're good at it. So I've been making one of my new favorite recipes in my book is called the Tom and Mac risotto. So it's a creamy, cheesy risotto. Yeah. And it is so like comforting and so warming.
That's good
and
for
I like
the Melburnians. There you go.
Yes. I love the risotto. Yeah. So that's like one of my favorite recipes, the Tom and Mac risotto. Really, really comforting and satisfying. And like I can feed that to all my family who are not plant-based or vegan, and they would have no idea that it's got no cheese or butter in it. And second serves, third serves, fourth serves, like love it.
That's where the real converting happens when I'm like, you should try plant-based. Like I've been feeling really good on it for the last 6 weeks and people are like, oh no, no cheese. Are you kidding me? Yeah. And then you put something in front of them that tastes cheesy and they're like, oh, I could do this.
I had a friend come over the other day and I just made like a platter and I put the vegan cheese on because I like people to have things that they like. Like I'm not really a cheese person. I've never liked cheese, which is really good for me.
Handy.
Switching to vegan. Because, like even when I used to get
vegan cheese is expensive.
From Macca's, I used to get ham, like junior burgers because they didn't have cheese on them. Because I thought the cheese on Macca's like literally tasted like poo. It was just, it smells like vomit. Oh, it was so bad. Anyway, and like if I ordered a junior burger and they gave me a cheeseburger, like I would be irate.
Ripeable.
Oh, I'd like go back and verse back in and be like, I asked for a junior burger. But that was just like 10-year-old crazy me. Yes, I wasn't a big cheese, like pizzas, like I used to rip the cheese off the pizzas and wasn't a fan. But anyway, yeah, so when people come over and then like I know that they're not vegan or plant-based or whatever, like I just like to give them things that I know that they like or, you know, but it's an alternative and they don't even know it. They just eat it as normal and they're like, oh, what brand is this or what not? And I had this vegan cheese. I think it was the bio cheese from Coles. And it's like a coconut oil base, I think. Like I said, I'm not overly, I'm just not into it, especially when it's cold. I'm like, ugh, just like coats my mouth. But he frothed it. He was like, what is this cheese? What cheese is this? Is this like Kraft? And I'm like,
dude,
no, this is coconut oil. He's like, this is the best cheese I've ever had. That's what he said. This is the best cheese I've ever had. And I was like, really?
They're really making food for everyone's palate that can be,
And like I said, that vegan, like that processed stuff, there's a time and place for it. It's not something that should be like a staple in the diet that you should eat every day because it is processed and they do have like oils and, you know, you really want to stay away from like the hydrogenated like trans oils, like your vegetable oils and stuff like that because that's just super toxic. Like you just don't want like margarine, like vegan margarine or any margarine is vegan if it doesn't have like milk powder or whatever it has in it. Just so toxic. Like you want to put margarine in your body, you're just you're coating your cells with a toxic coating. It is horrible stuff. If you're going to have margarine, I'd rather you eat butter. Pure butter. Yeah. I'd rather you eat butter than eat margarine. It's just disgusting.
I feel like we could talk to you for days. Like you are such a wealth of knowledge. I've never covered so many topics in my life in an hour.
What are we up to?
But we're going to wrap it up with a little bit more of a future question.
Yep.
What does the future hold for Lonnie Jane?
Oh, amazing things. I'm feeling so good about my future. I've really put in some hard work and I know that it's going to come the end. It's just an exchange, isn't it? Like the effort you put in, it's an exchange for what you get back. And the effort that I've put in, like with my books and sharing with people, like it comes back to me like in gratitude from people. Like, I just love it. I can't wait to meet all the people that are going to be there at the serotonin thing tonight so I can see their faces, because you get that connection like this. Like, it's just, you get to talk to people's face and not like over a screen and DMs. Yeah. But no, a lot holds for my future. So I'm releasing my two books hopefully next week.
Oh my goodness. We'll put a link to it.
Yeah, that'd be good. That'd be amazing. So hopefully next week, if everything runs smoothly, because there has been a couple of little bumps in the road. And I'm working on some health tools for people to accelerate their health, and with all of the knowledge that I've shared with them through the books that they can use at home and things like that. So yeah, I want to get my book in a hard copy, but I want to try and do it in like eco inks and like recycled paper without any plastic packaging, which is really hard.
Yeah.
Just those sort of things, like little projects and stuff in the works. Like, I really want to collaborate with more people and just get out there and just like this. Like, and I have been doing that. Yeah. I remember in Simon's podcast in Plant Proof, I said the same thing, and, you know, I went and did, you know, TV interviews, and I, you know, I'm doing this other podcast, and I did all those speaking events last year, and I just got myself out there, and that's just what I want to keep doing. I just want to keep sharing the vibe with people, and then it could just bounce off them to another person, to another person, to another person, and just live my truth. And, you know, it's just an exchange of energy. Like, what you put in is what you're going to get out. And I know that my future is going to be so amazing because I've put in a lot of effort into where I am now and where I want to be.
Oh my goodness, thank you so much. Honestly, we could literally speak to you all day, but I do.
And mic drop.
I do want to make sure you get a nap in before your event tonight. But yeah, honestly, just cannot thank you enough for your time. I think that is one of the best conversations we've ever had, and it was just so fluid and natural. And if anyone actually saw the questions we drafted, I don't think we even got through any of them.
I know, I don't think we did.
But I just love that, and I love that we just had such a real and honest conversation. So thank you so much for so much of your time, and yeah, just so excited to see what the future holds, and please keep in touch so we can share all that you're doing.
Most definitely. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please hit the subscribe button and leave a 5-star review. For any products mentioned in today's show, please check the show notes below and hit the direct links. If you'd like to suggest a future guest, please follow @TheHealthyHustlers on Instagram and send through a direct message. Until next week, don't forget to invest in you.